before we start, I'll read this message that I just received. It says that Brother Healy is going to have his surgery in 4 hours, that they found some inflammation that they're concerned about. And says this will mean he keeps the ventilator for all that duration. So that's the latest update on him. We started the book of Jude. Seems like months ago. I guess just a couple of weeks ago. And we got into verse 4. I'll read that verse. "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Last time we talked about the creeping in of these ungodly men. Not that they came announcing with megaphones their intentions, but they crept in. And we spoke how dangerous that is, and how people can be unaware of what they're doing. And certainly that's an easy thing, isn't it? We were talking a while ago about listening to people and maybe not really listening to what they're saying. And if somebody wants to slip something in on you intentionally, well, they're just pretty crafty at doing something like that. Get your mind going this way, and they're coming in blindsided, siding you on the other side, you know. About the way politics works in our day and time. They get something going, something started over here, and your mind is over here on this, and all this other stuff comes in. So as hearers of the Word of God, we need to be attentive on our listening. It's a very important thing to listen and understand, and use the Word of God to evaluate what's being said. So we start off where it speaks about ungodly men. Jude doesn't even hint that these people are saved. You know, sometimes God's people want to assume when somebody comes in with heresy, and especially damnable heresy, that, you know, they're saved people. And, you know, we need to evaluate that and concern ourselves about that. Here in Jude's day and time, not only mixed up people or people who were, you know, wrong on some things had entered into the Lord's churches, but they were ungodly. And you know as well as I do that ungodly men, when they infiltrate the Lord's churches, that they're going to bring ungodly practices with them. You know, godly men and ungodly men are at the opposite ends of the spectrum. And the ungodly have no concern for the pure, unadulterated Word of God. But they want to bring in ungodliness and try to mix that in with the Word of God and the worship of God's people. And it just doesn't work. It doesn't. It's like oil and water. They don't mix. So, you know, we need to be attentive about that. Somebody mentions something that you've never heard before, or doing something that you've never done before. Well, you ought to think about it. You know, you ought to think about it. Does this glorify God? Is this according to the Word of God? Ask yourself all these questions. Go into the Word of God and find out. So we begin to see why Jude was so intent on writing this letter, and why that, you know, instead of just speaking about God's grace and so forth, that he warns them of what's going on. Look around. You know, Jude was living in a day not too much unlike what we're living in our day and time. And we're seeing things in our day and time that people never even dreamed of years ago. Things that are common practice. And it's a shame, but people aren't even shocked anymore by what's going on out here in the world. And especially so in the sexual content. And he's going to deal quite a bit with that. You know, we've hit a time where the hippies came in with free love and all this stuff back in the 60s, you know. And it's just progressed until we've come to the point where unimaginable, unspeakable things are taking place in our country. And churches are being affected by that. People have family members that are involved in all of this stuff. And churches have church members that get involved in all this stuff. And it's something that churches have to deal with. So we can apply this, what Jude is saying to the churches all these years ago. It's quite applicable for us today. To understand that what's going on is not a natural thing, but an unnatural thing, as we'll see later on. But he says that the ungodly men were turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. And the word lasciviousness means simply impure, unnatural, even against the laws of God, in nature, against the laws of God. Unnatural. Things that just aren't supposed to be. Well, the world will tell you that, you know, people have a choice and they can do whatever they want to and all that. And our reply ought to be is that it's unnatural. It goes against the very laws of nature for this to take place. Even the animals of the world have, you know, they've not changed as far as these things go. They've stayed in their place and they stayed in their course. How they are to live and survive and act and all that. But mankind, depraved man, who is rebellious against God has sought out every unimaginable way to go against God and do those things that are impure and unnatural. So these ungodly men have come in, these ungodly men who says that we're ordained to this condemnation, that from the very beginning were ordained to this condemnation, coming into these last days. And now they're rising up and committing these great sins, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. And here again, that word lasciviousness refers to sexual acts. So we see from this verse the opposite, the very opposite of the way things ought to be. We come to the house of God to speak of the grace of God and worship God for His marvelous grace, His saving grace, and how that we have His grace in our lives each and every day. But these ungodly men want to turn all that around. You know, in our day and time, we've got China after us, and Russia after us, and just about every country there is out there after us, and the economy is terrible, and all this is happening, and you know, they want our attention focused on transgenders and homosexuality and all that. You know, it's just the way it is, and that's the way people are. But you and I know better than that. You and I know that these things shouldn't even be taken into consideration as far as right or wrong. And as far as people's rights are concerned, I guess people can do what they want to do, but you know, they can't drag us in there and say that we have to go along with it and we have to agree with it and all that. So these things are pertinent to us. And the beautiful grace of God, as you know, Jude, that's what he wanted to talk about. In the beginning, until his mind was changed, saving grace. But now he's talking about this stuff. And what a shame. What a shame that he even has to be brought up. But it has to be brought up. It has to be mentioned because of the destruction that it causes. And not only that, in this process, it says, and denying the only Lord God. Denying Him. So you start down this road of this sexual impurity, you know, right along with it goes the doing away with God. Well, the transgenders, they're not out here talking about a six-day creation. And they're not out here talking about what the Bible says about sin and all these things, but they only speak of those things that they're involved with and those things that are unholy and those things that are out to destroy. You know, except God intervene, our country will be destroyed from within. Now, we won't need China to do that, and we won't need Russia to do that. We're destroying ourselves with wokeism and all this stuff, and people are obsessed with that. That's everywhere you go. So Jude is warning God's people of what's happening, that these people have snuck in, they've crept in, and have been allowed to get a foothold amongst God's people. And we have to guard against that. Never should be that the Lord's church would have a business meeting one day and say, well, now, we're going to stand against this sin, and we're going to stand against that sin. We're going to stand against homosexuality because we've got homosexuals in the church, and we're going to change our... It ought to be stopped before any of that thing starts, is what I'm getting at. So, these ungodly men not only bring this stuff in, or bringing this stuff in, but they're denying the only Lord. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Paul told us there's one Lord. There's not many Lords. There's not a Lord that you serve and a Lord that I serve. There's one Lord. And He has one word. And we're all bound by that one Lord and that one word. But ungodly men will divert your attention, and they will distract you while they creep in and present as if there is another Lord. There's another word, you know. Some are bringing various Bibles in and preaching out of various Bibles, translations, and so forth. And, well, my translation says this, and well, nothing says, well, mine says this. That's all a ploy of the devil using ungodly men to strip away the idea that there's one Lord and one Word. And that you're free to choose whichever word, whichever translation suits you the best, you know. It's dangerous. But there, they were denying the only Lord. They were denying the only God. You know, they were denying Lordship salvation. In that they could say and do as they please. It's not a popular thing, but you can't say and do as you please. Now, you can open your mouth and say things, but you don't have the right to do anything that goes against the Word of God. You don't have that right. Here in America, you may have a legal right to do that, but as far as God goes, and as far as His church goes, you don't have any right to go contrary to the Word of God. And not only that, he mentions our Lord Jesus Christ. So, they are in trouble as far as allowing these people to come in. I've got some rattlesnakes around the house, and I'm kind of careful around the house where I step. It didn't used to be, but I am now. Because I don't know that I might stick my hand out in the weeds or in the flowers or whatever and get bitten by a rattlesnake. And since I've seen them there before, I'm aware that they're most likely going to be there. So I'm careful. So I would suggest that God's people be aware that they're around. There's no question that they're around. And we need to be listening and be careful and be watching, because they'll eventually expose themselves. But hopefully not after we're bitten. That rattlesnake, it might not rattle till after it bites. hopefully it rattled before. I've seen rattlesnakes that didn't rattle at all, you know. And just a warning, and certainly pertinent in our day and time. In verse 5, he says, "I will therefore." Brother Hobbs always used to say, when you see that word therefore, look and see what it's there for. What's it that, why is therefore there? Because of what verses 1 through 4 says. "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this." I'm going to show you from the Word of God, in other words, and remind you of things that took place in the past. Now, surely we can learn from the past. We've heard that all of our lives, haven't we? We need to learn from the past. Well, that sounds good if people do it. But people won't do it, will they? Look at us now as a nation. Are we learning from the past? Are we learning from Egyptian history? Are we learning from Babylonian history? Are we learning from Roman history of what happened to these nations that were the greatest nations on the face of the earth? And it scares me every time I hear somebody brag about how great America is. They're not learning from the past. They're not remembering what happened to these other nations. Well, he's talking to God's people here, and he's going to direct them to Bible history and as to what happened to God's people in the past when these things were allowed to take place. And he was just speaking of this lasciviousness in verse 4. When these things got out of control, when people went against the natural laws of God, what happened? Well, what's he say here? He says, "You once knew this. You once understood this." What's the matter? What's wrong with you? You knew what happened to these people. You knew what they did, and you know what God did. Why aren't you remembering that? Why aren't you paying attention to that? Now, the devil would have you to believe, and ungodly men would have you to believe, that the Old Testament is an outdated book that has no application to you and I whatsoever. Well, Jude didn't believe that, did he? He said, "I'm going to show you, I'm going to remind you of some things. And I'm going to show you what you're in danger of. And I'm going to show you that God has not changed, though you once knew this." You learned this. You were taught this. How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we have a record of that. By God's grace, they're delivered out of Egypt, which is a type of the world. They've been delivered from all of the sin of Egypt. As far as their physical involvement with that or anything or having to see that. They've been promised a land that flowed with milk and honey, and God says, I'm going to take you away from all that. And you're going to be my people, and you're going to be separate, and you won't have to have any dealings with these people anymore. In verse 1 of chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. Paul says the same thing. Don't be ignorant of these things. This is not just a story to tell the kids about being delivered out of Egypt. A lot of things to be learned there. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. What a joy, what a blessing to be delivered. Their spiritual meat supplied. Their spiritual drink supplied. The Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior, being delivered out of Egyptian bondage. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And the reason being was that there were some who left with Israel who were not of Israel. And there were some who were not believers in God in that great multitude. And so Paul says they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples. Whose examples? Corinthians' examples. And your example. And my example as to what happened. To the intent, we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written down, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Notice in particular verse 7. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now that doesn't mean that they went out and played games. They didn't go out and play hide and go seek. And they didn't play Scrabble and all kinds of things like that. But the word play there is a word that refers to sexual impurity. Now, if you go back to Exodus 32 and look at the story, Exodus 32, notice in verse 6, Moses has come down with the law of God, and he looks down out there. There's that golden calf and all that going on. It says they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. In the Greek and the Hebrew, that word both refers to illicit and immoral sexual activity. And God's delivered them. He's delivered them from all these idols, false gods in Egypt, delivering them to their home and land that He's given them, and all of a sudden this happens. They revert back to the worship of Egyptian gods who practiced these things. Their fertility worship and fertility rites and all that. And the Canaanites had Baal, of course, and Ashtaroth, who they were worshipped through this immoral activity. And here they are, leaving God and denying God who delivered them to worship golden calves. And in order to do that, they had to include this immoral sexual sin to go along with it. The Lord told Moses in verse 7 that they have corrupted themselves, and they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." So because of this, there were many thousands that perished in the wilderness because of that. Now you tell me, is God obligated to love all this kind of sin? People say that He is. Well, God loves everybody, and God made us this way, and all that ignorance. Not so. God condemns and God judges. We find from the pages of the Word of God. And it doesn't matter what age or time period you want to look at, you'll find the judgment of God upon these people. So He's warning God's people about this judgment, about God's hatred toward sin. All those that believed not were destroyed by God in their rebellion. And I guess we could say they crept in unawares, didn't they? When they left Egypt, they had no idea that these people were going to do the things they did and suggest the things they did. They had no idea what kind of people they were. They just left with the multitude. So the danger then is evident by what we read in history. We all ought to be history students of the Word of God. And let history show us what God thinks. And we have the book of Revelation and other books that even will allow us to not only to see what God thinks in history, but what God thinks in the future. You know, the same God who destroyed in the wilderness thousands of idolaters and thousands of sexually immoral people is one day going to do the same thing. We read in the book of Revelation. So God does not change. Now we see the devil behind all this. And I believe we also see the devil's intention behind all this. You know, from the very beginning, when the devil visited Adam and Eve in the garden, his intention was to prevent what God had ordained. And as you read the history of the Bible, you see the devil at various stages trying to destroy the line of people from which the Lord Jesus Christ would come. And that's what's behind the scenes. Now that's what the devil has had intention of doing. At various times in the Word of God, you'll see where in the line of Judah, the devil's intention was to wipe them out, using other nations, using even people in their midst, like old Athaliah, who wanted her grandsons to be king, and there was still a king who was in the line, you remember, and he was hid out from Athaliah, where she couldn't find him. She thought that she got them all. But the devil's intention is to destroy, or was to destroy, Christ's line, to prevent him from coming and fulfilling Scripture as the Lamb of God. Well, since then, his main purpose, I believe, has been to destroy the Lord's New Testament church. And we see that as soon as she came, what happened? She was hated without a cause. And the kings of the earth and nations of the earth came against her at various times, trying to destroy her. These ungodly men who Jude is talking about, who came in and crept in, they had all of their intentions as men, but their father, the devil, using them, had every intention of destroying the Lord's work. And you let the ungodly in and see if the devil doesn't use them. He sure will. Well, that's a good thing for the devil when a church lets the ungodly in. Now, of course, they come in unawares. You know, we can't see into the soul like God does, and down to the centuries, there's been many who were not saved and admitted by baptism into the Lord's churches, and the devil used them. Judas Iscariot comes to mind there in that first church. He came in awares. They had no idea that he was unsaved. They had no idea that he was son of perdition, but God knew. And what did he do when he came in? He was used of the devil to sell out the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And that's why Jude thinks these things are important. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 of us here today. Steve and Connie will be here. It'll be 7. 1 of 10 people come in next week. Say they're saved, but they're not saved. What kind of damage could they do? Of course, the Lord has protected His churches and preserved His churches down through time. But you see what I'm getting at. Come in unawares. They come in the next Sunday. And they don't look like they're saved when they come in, the way they act and the way they dress. And they leave saying they're saved. But, you know, they come back. They keep coming back like that. And you need to wonder, you know. And you need to examine. So, the whole book of Jude is given for us to understand that these who were ordained of old will creep in. And when they creep in, they'll bring the world and worldly practices with them. Though you once knew this. I'm not telling you anything new, and this is not some great revelation that we've had this morning. We've had the book of Jude all along. And we've read this book, and we've studied this book, and we understand, but we need to be reminded again and again and again of what kind of world we live in. We've kind of been duped into thinking that we live in a good world, and we have all these good people out here, and surely nobody would try to harm us. Nobody would try to destroy us. Well, if one has that attitude, then they're living on dangerous ground. The world is a dangerous place, an evil place that we're in. And it's only going to get worse. Sorry to give you that news this morning, but it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. But it shall wax worse and worse and worse. It's just going to keep coming. Probably one day soon, the Lord's churches are going to have to deal with the plurality of wives and stuff. That's something that they're talking about legalizing. You're going to have maybe one day have a fella come in, got 4 or 5 wives, and they say the Lord saved them. Well, how are you going to deal with that? What are you going to do with that? Let it go? Let it slide? It's coming. And a lot of evils here. God help us to be careful.